You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Monday, April 10th, and it's about a million years since I did a podcast episode. I kind of came to the conclusion that these were only functioning as an accountability mechanism and a vulnerability exercise, and I think that it worked really well for that, but then I haven't been able to kind of force myself to spend half an hour doing this. I've had a couple people ask me about the podcast lately, and I just thought that maybe I would make a record of what I'm doing now. So, I took a couple months off Chopin and played Brahms, which was really fun, and more difficult than I think I expected. I did all the Brahms duo sonatas. There are three big ones and then one little movement with a dear, dear friend of mine, violinist Michael Jorgensen, who's a gorgeous player. And one of the things that I find mildly entertaining these days is that, you know, I had this idea that learning to play all the Chopin etudes was going to make everything else easy. And I do feel like it makes everything else possible that I've come into contact with so far. But unfortunately, it does not make everything into something that I don't have to practice. So I still had to practice the Brahms a lot, and probably could have used about another week of practice would have been pretty nice before the concerts. But they went fine, and it was fun to play them. The two big things I'm working on right now are I'm learning the Dvorak piano quartet. Quintet. Five people, which is gorgeous. He can really write a hook. It's so much fun. He does things like, let's see if I can do this from memory. Just this cute little fun, lots of little melodies sort of swirling around. And I think that's going to be fun to learn. It's been fun to look at so far, although I haven't gotten super intense about it yet. So the thing that I'm working on right now, like really, really working on, kind of two things. One is I'm practicing little tiny bits of the Chopin etudes to get ready for recording them this summer. I have the piano, I have the piano technician, I have the producer, I have the engineer. We don't have a date yet, but it looks like it's going to be July, and I'm starting to get excited. I'm also nervous about it because I know that the recording is hard, and these pieces are hard, and I want to do everything I can so that making this recording is difficult and not horrible. So I'm actually doing a lot of what I call metronome game at tempo, or metronome groups at tempo. So I write MGAT. And I'm going to show you what that looks like. So for example, the Winter Wind Etude, which I know I'm constantly complaining about, but it's just hard. I haven't actually practiced this one yet today, so this is perfect. Let me show you what I'm doing. So I'm setting the metronome at tempo. Here it is. And then I'm doing variations of this, but I'm either doing like two beats plus the next downbeat or one beat plus the next downbeat. So it'll be something like... that one I need. So it kind of almost makes it like it's in three, right? So you play the thing, you land on the next one, and then you prepare. And I only turn that off because it's annoying if I'm not playing. What I'm trying to do is make sure that when I do the recording, that I can play every single note the way I want. Even if I can't play every single note the way I want in the same run through, but that at least I have it, so that there aren't any places where I'm just kind of allowing it to skate and be a little bit off. So let me see if this is a good example to show you. So this is still the Winter Wind. So for example, so like I missed a couple of the notes at the very top. It was right before I stopped, so you might not have heard it. Let me do that again. Yeah. Oh, actually, so that might be a spot that I did this. So I just want to make sure that every single note is in there and is happening. That takes a lot of concentration, but it's actually really fun to do when I can make myself do it. So the way that I'm doing that is I'm timing my practice, which I have to do if I'm actually going to get anything done. And I keep thinking that I'm going to try and do this sort of more creative, don't time my practice way, but I actually have to time my practice. So I have a piece of paper and I write down 10 minutes, 5 minutes, sort of groups of minutes, however long I think I need. And I make a plan at the very beginning and then I practice that thing until the timer goes off. So for example, today I still need to do the last, probably I won't do 4 pages of The Winter Wind, but I'd like to do pages 5 and 6 of The Winter Wind today. Let me see if I can show you that. Of course, you know what? This is a different edition than the one that I have at home. So if I do pages 5 and 6, it's going to be different. Wait a second. Let me start here. Yeah, let me start here. This is a weird place to start. By the way, I have a theory that at some point during his career, Steve Reich worked on this piece, because when you practice a lot of these little bits over and over, they totally sound like Steve Reich to me, which also is something that I think I thought of like 7 years ago. So I may have already made that point here. It's like, I'm going to stop. I'm going to talk instead of playing because I don't like how I'm playing right now. I've been doing this project for so long and these notes are so ingrained that it's sometimes hard to feel like I'm making new discoveries about them. And one of the things that I'm really, really trying to force myself to do well now is to notice when it doesn't feel good. So for example, this morning I was practicing this piece and it wasn't this lick that I was just trying to play. I think it was a high thing. Maybe it might have actually been the return. So this feels really different in my shoulder, depending on how I move my hand, where I put my elbow, how I lean my torso in. And I think that it's really easy to accept it feeling slightly uncomfortable. And I think that that's the reason that I can't play this piece the way I want to, is because I've been accepting it feeling slightly uncomfortable. So if I sort of lean back, I can do it, but my arm feels a little bit stretched and my shoulder feels a little bit tight. I'm trying to notice that shoulder feels a little bit tight before it turns into shoulder feels so tight that I need to go lie down. And it turns out that's very difficult for me. I put my attention on my fingertips, and then when I stop, I notice that I didn't quite like my shoulder. So I'm trying to find the way that the shoulder feels okay. And like that actually felt really, really good in this part. And then here it started feeling a little bit off. So it's like I haven't quite figured out the choreography. And I think I go in between these two modes of thinking. One mode of thinking is there must exist a way that is really easy that I will find. And once I find it, this piece will be really easy. And I will look back on my former self who couldn't quite play it comfortably with great disdain and hopefully compassion. So that's one way of thinking about it. And then the other way of thinking about it is, this is hard. It will always be hard. It must be hard for everybody. And maybe this is just a thing that feels uncomfortable and I should just suck it up and that's the way it is. And I definitely go back and forth between those two ways of kind of thinking about it. I hope that the first way is the truth and that there's a way to find it that will feel great. So I want to say another thing about that, actually, which is that I think I'm getting better, and better is the goal, right? Better, not perfect, is the goal. I think I'm getting better at noticing when I don't feel good when I play. And I'm getting better at making myself stop. Like I'll say, okay, Jocelyn, stop. And then I'll actually stop. Instead of saying, oh, that doesn't feel good. Now I'm going to keep playing. I think that maybe I'm starting to get a clue about that. Now, it might be that I say that today and then next week I'll be playing and playing, playing through again. But I think maybe I'm starting to figure that out. And I think maybe in a really, really bizarre way that I have not unpacked at all. So bear with me while I kind of babble about this. I think that in a way, the various physical problems that have bedeviled me while I've been doing this project, like tendonitis and thoracic outlet syndrome in my shoulders and tennis elbow and slamming my finger in a window so that it, they said it didn't break, but I think it came about as close to breaking as you could. And, oh yeah, a giant tumor. Like, I've had all these big problems, physical problems. And the tumor is fine. I'm totally healthy now. Surgery was great. It was a couple years ago. Everything's fine. But I think now maybe all of these problems might be a little bit of a gift to me, because my tendency has always been to work myself into the ground, sometimes for a really good reason and sometimes for no reason. And I think that maybe these physical limitations are forcing me to accept that, for example, after I practice for 15 minutes, I need to stretch, which seems like that seems so obvious. And it seems like it shouldn't be a giant epiphany, but I think I'm actually learning to stretch after 15 minutes. And I think I'm even maybe learning, like, I've had a couple times in the last week where I've been practicing and then my shoulder doesn't feel good. And so I actually stopped practicing and I went and I lay down. And that's not ideal in terms of getting all your music learned really fast. But I think it might be exactly what I need in terms of making sure that I can actually physically play my whole life. So, all right, that's my babbling about that. I actually want to talk about another physical thing that I'm sort of excited about. But I kind of feel like I want to play something. But let me tell you my other physical thing. This might be like Jocelyn Swigger patent pending, a new practice method. So this goes in with the setting the timer and saying 10 minutes of this and 8 minutes of this, whatever. But I'm actually making a list of a few exercises that I do. So like I will practice for 8 minutes and then I'll go do 20 jumping jacks. And then I'll practice for 10 minutes and then I'll go do 20 sit-ups. And then I'll practice for 10 minutes, and then I will go do downward facing dog with both legs kicked up each side. And then I'll practice for 10 minutes, and then I'll do plank for a minute, which I totally didn't do today. But that's kind of interesting because it makes practicing feel like, first of all, I have my heart raised more of the time. My heart rate is up more of the time while I'm practicing, which is more like being on stage. And it also is keeping me from allowing myself to just slump and let my shoulders get uncomfortable. So if I can make myself do that, which I can't always, that actually feels really terrific. Like I never want, whenever the timer goes off and it's time for me to stop practicing the thing I'm working on and go do whatever the exercise is, I never, ever, ever want to do it. And then as soon as I'm doing it, I feel so good. And then when I come back to practice the next thing, I feel so much better. So I think that might be a really good way for me to continue working. And I might even tell my students about it and have them try it. Anyway, I guess I'm always making these discoveries and figuring these things out. So I'm doing little bits of the etudes. I'm doing little bits of the Winter Wind. I'm doing little bits. I won't show you the metronome because I won't take time to click around to the different tempos. But I'm doing little bits of 10 number 2. That. I'm doing little bits of 25/4. I'm so tired of missing some of the notes in the pinky and the left hand, and I'm just trying to get it so that I don't ever miss those notes. So no, there it is. So actually, one of the decisions that I have to make that I haven't quite made yet is when I'm doing this. This is all the left hand, by the way. So from here to here, I have to jump because I can't reach from that to that. But when I go from here to here, I actually can keep my fourth finger on this note so that it's not playing, but it's kind of keeping contact. So maybe it might be a better idea to keep it there to sort of measure it that way. But I actually think that I need to take the sort of leap of faith, and it's literally a leap, and actually just jump instead of feeling like I'm feeling for it. So that's something I'm thinking about. So today, it feels better when I do it with the leaping way and not the feeling way. No, I missed one. No! See, I get excited and then I start missing it. No. There it is. So there's that. Working on that. I've started putting the thirds with a metronome again because my tempos change just wildly. It's kind of crazy how much they change. So that's something I need to really take a look at that. Not that the tempos can't change at all, but I want to make sure that they're choices and not just what happens. So I'm getting into these little nitty-gritty places, and I'm liking that when it works. And I'm getting ready to play all of the etudes in concert on Paderewski's piano in California, which I'm totally excited about. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and I just can't wait to do that. So it's been a little while since I played all of these etudes together as a set, and I'm looking forward to doing that. But I'm also really enjoying the practicing that's kind of about the recording instead of just about playing through. And it's nice to feel like I've played these through enough that I can trust that, and that I can work on getting these little details. So that's basically where I am. I don't know when I'm going to do the next one of these. Maybe I'll let you know how the California one goes, or maybe I'll let you hear one of the interviews that I've done. I've done a couple of interviews lately, so maybe I'll do a link about that. Anyway, if you are interested in this and you want to hear more of these instead of just once in a blue moon, wow, I can't even speak, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. You can look at my website, which is jocelynswigger.com, or you can write me a review on iTunes. You can like my Facebook page or send me a message on my Facebook page. If you're out there listening and you want to hear more, let me know. For example, I'm very curious. Do you think that I should release my recording on vinyl? I'm playing around with that idea. All right, so that's it. You can find out more about me at jocelynswigger.com. And I don't even remember what the rest of my sign-off was because it's been so long since I did this. But thank you so much for being my practice buddy.